Welcome, City Life Church, to part of our fifth Saturday series. We have a treat, another treat, as they all are in store for you today, as my good friend Michael Thaler is with us, who is the founder of a ministry that primarily focuses its work in Niger, Africa, that we support on a monthly basis, that I've been connected to since 2009. And then we met. The first time Michael and I actually met is when both of our sons, Brent and his son, comes to church here, married to Katrina, were they just a year old? And we were in a God's Garden class, which is what it was called, which was a music class for parents and children. So we sang and danced together right in this classroom with our kids. And little did we know that our sons were going to grow up to be best friends. So it's a good story.
That's a great story. It seems like yesterday.
It seems like yesterday. So we wanted Michael to come and to talk. We wanted you to learn more about what's happening in Niger because we're excited to be a part of that work. So so tell me a little bit about, before we get into the work in Niger, because I feel like one of the things that motivates you for the work there is this idea of living life on purpose. And I've heard you talk about this many times, and you actually have a life purpose statement, if I'm not mistaken, that talks about populating heaven. Is that free? So tell me a little bit about, give me that life purpose statement for you, and then share a little bit about how that has instructed you and motivated you and oriented you in life, specifically with your work in Niger.
Yeah, so my life purpose statement is to radically impact the population of heaven by living out God's dream for my life and to ignite confidence in others to live out God's dream for their lives.
That's good.
So that's what drives every decision that I make, and I want to make sure I'm digging into that and pressing into that with everything I do, whether it's going after Niger, whether it's my family, whether it's other people's lives and helping them to just have that confidence to live out God's dream for their life, and everything I do and every decision I make.
Did you have that life purpose statement when Niger, the work in Niger, was at its inception?
I did not.
Yeah.
So it kind of came at the early stages of Niger.
Yes.
Where I was learning what God's dream for my life was.
Right.
And it was to radically impact the population of heaven.
Yeah.
Big piece of that's Niger, and it grew from that. And the second part came as we took people there and saw their lives change.
Yes.
We decided to really press into radically impacting the travelers' lives also, mm-hmm. And just igniting their confidence to do crazy things for God.
I'm not surprised, but I wasn't sure what the answer was. I'm not surprised by that because it's one of the reasons why I feel like everyone should go on a foreign missions trip at some point in their life. Because it radically changes you.
It
alters your perspective.
It does.
In every way and in every sense. So I'm not surprised that by you doing it, the life purpose statement came out of it. And then I know so many of the people that have been to Niger, the same thing has happened to them.
Yeah. So. And since we've been so many times, which I'm sure we'll talk about, it's we really go after the traveler's life.
Yeah.
Mission trips affect travelers always.
Yeah.
But we go after the traveler's life to change the trajectory of their life forever.
Yeah, it's one of the things I love about your approach to missions work is that I feel like when we go on a missions trip, we talk about that's going to have an impact on the individual, but still I would say 80 to 90% of the focus is still the work that is going to happen there.
Right.
You all have found this unique way. I would say you're 100% focused on the work that's going to happen there,
right,
and you're 100% focused on the person that's going, which is a unique experience. So now your on-ramp into foreign missions work, I would say, is non-traditional, right? A lot of people, they go to Bible college or they're in seminary or they're in a youth group in church, right? And they're at youth camp and they feel called to missions. But that hasn't been your story. You were a franchise owner of a Chick-fil-A,
right,
in the Richmond area. And then you went on to found a financial services company.
Right.
And so you came from the marketplace and then into the world of mission. So talk to me a little bit about that.
Okay.
Because I don't think you hear that a lot.
No. So for me, I graduated from college. Chick-fil-A was, very small at that time. And I decided I want to go for this Chick-fil-A franchise thing. So yeah. I applied, and they took 33 out of 12,001 applicants.
Okay.
I was one of the 33.
Wow.
In 1987. So.
And that was in Richmond then?
I was in Virginia Beach, but Richmond is where I landed.
Where, so that's where you landed.
Okay. I opened the very first Chick-fil-A in Richmond.
I forget you're a 757 local.
Yeah.
Originally. Yeah.
And so I opened the first Chick-fil-A in Richmond. It was just a great store. Very profitable.
It was
profitable.
The first Chick-fil-A in Richmond.
The very first Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
Yeah. 3 weeks before the second one, which was Cloverleaf Mall.
Okay.
And so did that, and I was 22. I was making really good money because it was a great rent package. And I was looking for wealth managers and somebody to help with this money I was going to make. Yeah. And I just met. And they all said the same thing. They said, you just got to save, and you have a nest egg, and then you can live off that nest egg. That's the whole idea. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I want to give away my money along the way and have a smaller nest egg and then give that away when I'm alive. And they thought, well, you can't do that.
Right.
And so I searched for 3 years, and I met this guy in Maryland who showed me how to do it.
Okay.
I became a Christian during that time too, when I was 23 years old. And I was in a program called What's Your Ministry in the Marketplace.
Yep.
And I just felt God saying, Michael, leave Chick-fil-A and go teach what you just learned.
Wow.
I was like, that's crazy, but I'm good for crazy.
Yeah.
And so I did. And I left Chick-fil-A, loved Chick-fil-A. They're a great company. And started Equity Concepts and a wealth management firm. And we just decided we're going to put God first and let this be his firm. And so we're rolling along and some years into it. So that was in 1991.
Yep.
And as we grew, I just fell in love with missions. I started going to church and fell in love with missions. And then in 2001, I went to Niger, Africa.
Okay.
And we were looking at ways to give back at Equity Concepts because things were going really well. And went there in 2001, went on a trip, and then we came back. And the guy who led it said, hey, let's go back again the next year.
Yeah.
I said, I'm in. So in 2002, we went back.
Yeah.
And then he said, let's do a five-year focus. And then 2003 came, but he moved away with his job. And didn't happen. The trip didn't happen. So that summer of 2003, I felt God saying, Michael, if it's going to happen, it's going to be you. Hmm. And we were looking at ways to give back in a big way. And so I said, well, to the missionary there, what do you want from us? And he said, just bring some leaders. And I asked 13 leaders to go from Mechanicsville Christian Center. They all said yes. We went there and just listened to their dreams.
Right.
Sat on the porch and listened. And we came back, and I just felt like God said, go out to Niger until it's a Christian nation. So we opened up Effective Ministries, a nonprofit, in November of 2003. That's when we went. And the back corner of a wealth management office. So all we're going to talk about today happened in the back corner of a wealth management office.
That's so good. Yeah, I love this idea of you coming from a non-traditional background, because I feel like a lot of people that are going to be watching right now, we're talking to you, is that they're saying to themselves, you know, I'm willing to write a check, but, you know, foreign missions really isn't my thing because I've not been to Bible college, or I've not been to seminary, or all of the reasons why, because they only associate people that have this impassioned commitment to a faraway place, being a certain, having a certain kind of experience.
Right.
And you didn't have any of that.
No.
And yet here you are, right? And so one of the hopes that I have from this interview, there are going to be people that are watching this who have disqualified themselves for whatever reason, and yet there's been a call on their life, and that this is going to open that back up for them, right? That there's a conversation between them and God, right? That's going to resume. So I remember you telling me a story once where, I don't remember where we were while we were talking about it, but whoever helped you with keeping track of your resources, this was far along in your journey now with Equity Concepts, was well established, was successful. And I remember you telling me a story about how this person that was helping keep track of your resources said, Michael, you can't keep giving this much money away. And your answer to them was, why not? Right? Okay. It's just this idea of, just because there's a secular approach to stewardship doesn't mean that's your approach to stewardship and your radical approach to generosity. One of your favorite sayings, which has dramatically affected me personally, is that if God can get it through you, he'll give it to you.
Yes.
And it's a great motto to live by, which has been, I would say, the story of your life. So you start Equity Concepts, then there's this God opening a door, right, for you to do something in Niger. Talk to me a little bit about what it means to be a fourth world nation, because I remember you teaching me about that we're a lot of us are familiar with the idea of third world, but if I'm not mistaken, Niger then, I don't know if it still is, was a fourth world nation. Tell me what that means.
Yeah, so Niger is one of the poorest nations in the world. Typically, Niger and Haiti are the two lowest as far as the poorest nations in the world. Niger's typically the very bottom.
Yeah.
And so they're just so far down the economic and change just of poverty that they're fourth world.
Yeah, they had to create a new category,
yes,
right?
They did.
Third world used to be as far down as you could go in the poverty chart, right? And they said, these countries are in need. We need a new classification. So you in your work there, you work through organizations, if I'm not mistaken, that are already functioning and operating there.
Yes,
is that correct?
Yes.
So I know when I went in 2022, there's a picture that's going to come up on the screen that you'll see of our missions team in 2022, so people can see. At that time, you all worked through 66 partner organizations. So tell me a little bit about that kind of approach to missions.
Yes. So we started something called Live 1024. So it's living out Hebrews 10:24 to spur one another on to love and good deeds.
Yep.
And I always told them in church that you spur us on to keep coming back, and we're going to spur you on to go after this nation for Christ, and we'll keep coming back and be there with you. And so we just had to figure a way to raise money to impact that country like it needed to. And we get money in here or there. So we decided to ask people to give $10.24. And so we had multiple families do that, and multiple families do multiple 1024s, and now we have 2,387 1024s.
And they give $10.24 a month.
A month.
Yes.
Right. So now there's $25,000 a month that's coming in.
How great is that?
And so now we have to do this whole thing differently.
Yeah.
So we decided to focus on five different areas. The first one is health.
Yep.
The second one is water. The third one is orphans. The fourth one is education. The fifth one is micro business.
Yeah.
And the reason for those is because it's the life cycle of a person in Niger. So half the kids, depends what you Google, 30 to 50% of the kids will die before the age of five in Niger.
Wow.
So health and water keep them alive. The Bible says take care of the orphans.
Yeah.
Let's educate all of them and then put them in microbusiness so they can take care of their families and preach the gospel.
Yeah.
So we have 66 partners, soon to be, still 66, but soon to be 68. We're adding two more now.
Okay.
That work in one of those five areas. And what we do is they'll put in project requests, and then we'll fulfill those project requests and hold them accountable.
Yeah.
And we'll fund what they need to be more successful. So we're helping 66 ministries, soon to be 68, be more successful in Niger. And some of those ministries have multiple locations, like a feeding site. One that does feedings has 13 locations across the country. So if you can imagine this net over Niger, it's winning Niger to Christ.
And again, part of the beauty of that model for me, if I'm understanding it correctly, is that those soon to be 68 organizations are not operated by you.
Not at all.
They have their own leadership, oftentimes people that are from Niger, so people that are local. So you're empowering people that are in country and that are from that country to do this work.
Yes.
And here, and then you do training. You do resource support, right? Mm-hmm. So you help fund, like you said, for projects. Yeah. But then you also give them mentorship, right? Mm-hmm. You bring some discipleship to their lives personally, spiritually, and then a lot of leadership training, right? To help them become more successful in their organization. It's one of the things I love about how you do it, because a lot of ministries, they go into a country and it's their work that they're doing, and then they find themselves in many times competing with other missionary groups that are in country, but you will have that dynamic because you're resourcing everybody.
Sure, and we bring them together so they can learn more about each other and how they can work with each other and build each other up. So so that takes that competitive nature completely out.
Yeah, that's good. I like it. So tell me, Tell me a story, and I know that you've got many of them, but of one of these partner organizations, maybe a project that you funded, how something got off the ground, an impact that it's having. To pick one of them and talk to me a little bit about it.
Yeah, there are a lot of them.
Yeah,
and but I'm going to use MGD Daycare. It's a Brazilian daycare. So again, like you mentioned earlier, over half of the partners.
Did we go there in 2022?
We went there.
That's
yes,
where they sang happy birthday to me.
Yes.
My 55th birthday was there.
Yes,
all right.
Yes.
All right.
And I'm going to share a little bit about it, I think, later too in our conversation, a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
So MGD, they were having just a hard time mm-hmm. with getting the funding they needed for their feeding programs.
Yeah.
So what they do is they'll have kids come in and they'll feed them breakfast mm-hmm. and they'll do a Bible story and then they'll do Bible memorization. These are kids from Muslim families
yeah.
that are illiterate, little kids. Yep. And these kids are memorizing the Bible. It's beautiful what they're getting.
Yeah.
And then they'll do a lunch. And so they just didn't have the money to do the program.
Right.
And it was hard for them to get support. They were losing some support, just tough times, and especially from people from Brazil and other places. And so we came in and decided to fund their feeding program.
Yeah.
And they're now 13 feeding sites.
Wow.
So, but also when
they had one.
They had one.
That they were having a hard time.
They had a few at that time.
Okay.
They had a hard time, and now they've gone up to 13 feeding
wow.
programs. Yeah. Yeah. And so when meningitis hit there, we vaccinated those kids for meningitis so those kids could come.
Wow.
When the flooding happened there,
so good.
We helped them with the flooding so their kids could come. So we do a lot to help them to be able to be more successful in what God's asked them to do.
Yeah. So I just want to pause here so don't forget, a lot of people can do $10.24 a month. Right. And so if someone they're watching this, mm-hmm. they feel the tug of the Holy Spirit on their heart. What's the website they would go to sign up to start giving $10.24 a month?
Yeah. So just go to effectiveministries.org.
All right.
And then there's three pictures at the beginning. Click on Lift 1024.
Okay.
You can sign right up.
Effectiveministries.org. All right. Yeah. I like
it. Every single story you're a part of because they're all brought together and all 66 partners, you'll be part of all of that.
You do a great job of setting out, keeping people that support you up to date with stories, postcards. Mm-hmm. It's impressive. It's impressive. So let's talk about, since we're on that, a little bit about the structure of Effective Ministries because it does have a few different arms. Mm-hmm. I think a diagram is going to pop up on the screen for those that are watching that kind of shows that a little bit. So tell me a little bit under Effective Ministries, right. What are the various groups that fall under that umbrella?
So there's three
okay.
focuses. One is called Link Missions, and on my shirt, that's what I'm wearing. So Link stands for Leading Innovatively Niger to the Kingdom.
And if people come to church here, they see my Link mug on my table every Saturday. Yep.
Link Missions is getting people to Niger. And all God has asked us to do is get people to Niger.
Okay.
He said, get people to Niger, I'll take care of the rest.
Yep.
So we just had our 145th team.
Come on.
That went to Niger.
Yeah.
They just got back. So consisting of 1,496 travelers from 303 churches.
Wow.
In 33 states and 3 countries.
Come on.
All from the back corner of a wealth management firm, which is crazy. So that's Link Missions. The next one is Schools for Niger Africa.
Okay.
So we are building or have built 18 Christian schools that are educating 8,710 students.
Wow.
These are the future leaders of Niger
yes,
and they'll know
they
about
are.
Christ. So very cool. And the third is Lift 1024, which we just talked about.
Okay.
So those are the three focuses. And then we do evangelism around all three of those.
Okay. Okay. So people can really be involved in every aspect of that.
Absolutely.
If they want, they can go on a trip mm-hmm. and they can do 1024. And if they're doing those things, they're impacting the schools, right?
Absolutely.
That are happening.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Now, the schools, because we, on trips, most trips, we would, at least the two that I've been on mm-hmm. in 2009 and 2022, we visited the school or one of the schools. Do you operate the schools or is that one of the few things that you actually run and operate, if I'm not mistaken, or am I misunderstanding
that? No, we do not. So
you
we
do not?
Also, yeah. Many of those 66 partners also have schools.
Okay, I see.
So like we have one that has a feeding program, they also have a school. So we
gotcha.
Support them at both of those.
So the schools that we visited in and of themselves are autonomous that are resourced by you? Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yep. And that's impressive because if I remember correctly, the majority of those students are often coming from Muslim families, yes. even though you are overtly Christian, but the educational system is so strong through your schools that Muslim families still send their kids there.
Oh yeah.
Even though they know that they're getting a Christian.
Absolutely. Some of the wealthiest Muslim families teaching. Say, I want my kids to go there and they learn about Jesus. And yeah. They're going to be the future leaders.
Yeah. That's powerful.
It's really cool.
It's really
good. Those schools that we have accountability. We oversee what they're doing, but we do not run the schools.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Good. The ways that people can get involved, right? So you talked about Live 1024. Mm-hmm. People can give $10.24 a month. The way that City Life Church is involved, we're a Keystone partner.
Yes.
So, and you can, it's one of the, if I understand it, is people that donate by way of Keystone, 100% of our donations go to cover your administrative costs so that when you're out trying to get grants or talking to other ministries, you're able to say to them, 100% of your dollars are going to go directly yes. on the ground.
Yes.
And no one in the world is doing that. Talk to me a little bit about that.
So when I started Effective Ministries, I read this book. I was in the middle of reading this book called The God That Hung on the Cross.
Yeah.
And this guy builds churches all over the place. And interestingly enough, I felt God, and he covers all the overhead.
Right.
100% of it.
Yeah.
And I felt God saying, Michael, do the same thing.
Yeah.
And so I said, I'm in. I'll do that.
Sure.
So I decided at the very beginning I would do that. And I wanted to meet the guy. Actually from Newport News, interesting enough.
Okay.
Yeah, all over the country. He's from Newport News. He was 90 years old, met the guy, and he's passed since, but he was just a great inspiration. So I decided to do that. And I brought my first and most expensive employee from Equity Concepts to run Effective Ministry. So I said, God, I'm going to give you my very best.
Okay.
My most expensive, my best. And I thought, you know, a few years, we'll see what happens. And it grew sevenfold
wow.
in 5 years. And God grew Equity Concepts to cover that. But then it got to a point where it wasn't healthy for me to cover all the overhead. If something happened to me, what happens to the ministry?
Sure.
And so I decided to start a program called Keystone Partners and have people come alongside of me
yep.
to help cover those organizational expenses. So 100% of $10.24 from Live 1024 go to Niger. If somebody gave $500 or $50,000 for schools, it would go to schools.
Yep.
And then when somebody pays for their missions trip, we have two people that help them get from a yes to on that plane. None of that money covers their salaries. We're covering all of that. So all yeah. that goes to their missions trip.
Wow.
And so it did attract a lot of people. So
yes.
I tell there's 40, we had 42 Keystone partners now.
Okay.
You being one of them.
Yep.
And because of that, people do give more and do give differently. And it's a very different model. So 100% goes. Really quick, cool story. My mother-in-law cuts, she gets her hair cut by this lady.
Okay.
And this lady said, you know, I just never know how much is going to the ministry, like how much right. is going to the field and these missions organizations.
Yeah.
She said, you should talk to my son-in-law.
Yeah.
100%. She said, what do you mean 100%? I said, 100%. Anyway, so this is about a year ago and she talked, you know, and I said, it's 100%. Here's showed her everything. She said, I have nobody to leave anything to. And she deeded her house to us.
My goodness.
So
because of 100%.
100%. She says, look, take care of my cat and dog. We love animals. And take care of my cat and dog. And other than that, sell my house and let that money go to Niger when I pass.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
The idea of a Keystone partner, right, is genius because you have to overcome this initial, I don't know if I want all of my money to go to administrative expenses.
Right.
But once you realize by being willing to give 100% to the administrative expenses, you're actually generating exponentially more money than yes. you can ever imagine for program because that model is attractional yes. to donors.
Yes.
Because of what you just said, for so many organizations, they're just not sure.
Right.
Or they don't know if they can trust the math.
Right.
Right. And for you, the math is easy.
Yes.
All of this money that's donated goes to missions, and our Keystone partners make that possible.
Right. It's because of City Life's yes
yeah.
that house was deeded to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're a part of every Live 1024, everything.
Yeah.
Even though it's helping cover this, all this happens because of that. So it happens bigger because of the Keystone Yeses, and they're part of every single project, every single story we're talking about.
So good. Yeah. So tell me, here is where, kind of in the home stretch, I remember you telling a story about, and correct me if I'm wrong, being in the bathroom of someone's home while you were in Niger, and you open up maybe the medicine cabinet, and there was nothing in there, like no cotton balls, Band-Aids, and I feel like, I think you told me the story on our last trip together in 2022, how God spoke to you through that, and how that caused you to radically change how you were going to manage your own money, that there were just people in the world who didn't even have the money that they needed for the basic necessities of life. So tell me that story.
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to the same MGD daycare.
Okay.
So my first time there, I was talking to Alex and Giovanna. So that's the husband and wife that run that ministry.
Yes.
And they were sharing their story.
Yeah.
And I love Romans 12, 1 and 2, where it talks about being a living sacrifice. Mm-hmm. I always wonder what that looked like. Because right. Living sacrifice, if you look that up in the Bible, it's a big deal when you look at, you know, the Bibles that have commentary. But then you go to the dictionary and look up, you know, living, and then put sacrifice with it. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
And so they're sharing about their stories and how he has esophagus cancer and how he goes back to Brazil every 9 months to get that cut back so they can come back to the mission field. Yeah. And she has dealt with cancer. And I'm listening to them going, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
And so it's just, you know, God has given me a life-changing moment.
Yeah.
So anyways, they're talking about their family and everything.
Because they were the epitome of a living sacrifice.
Oh yeah. And it gets better. Yeah. So then they were sharing about their family, and I asked them if I could, you know, run the restroom real quick. And so I walked into their home, we were outside their home, walked into their home, some chickens running around. And met some of their sons and daughters. And they had 19, so they couldn't have children. So they come to the mission field, find out they can't have children, dad battling cancer. And I'm thinking, everybody, you'd be gone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I mean, to them, it's not even an issue. It's like, no, we're absolutely fine. So they've adopted 19 of these little kids that they're living, these kids.
Wow.
Yeah, 15 boys and 4 girls. And some of those boys now, when you go back, when you were there, some of those guys that are running it were those little kids.
Wow.
They were 5 and 6 sitting on that mat. So anyways, I'm looking, going, and they're saying that these chickens are what feeds them, and we don't know where their next meal will come from, but we'll have more chickens, we'll figure it out. So I'm blown away, just blown away. And then I go into the restroom, and they have this little cabinet. It's like their little first aid cabinet.
Yeah.
And there's like 2 Band-Aids and 2 Q-tips.
Yeah.
And I asked them about that when I got out of the restroom, and they said, that's our first aid cabinet. And I said, well, you have 2 Q-tips and 2 Band-Aids, and you have 19
kids.
Adopted kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And they went, hey, we're good. Before those 2 will go to 0, God will supply more.
Wow.
So I walked out of there, and I could share it for hours on this.
No,
literally,
sure,
I mean,
sure.
Literally, there's so much happening. Yeah, yeah. And these kids were memorizing about, I was watching this, and just, and by the way, there was a fire in a part of their house. It was all burnt.
Gracious.
And I said, what happened here? And it's like, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
It's like, everything is really good. Mm. And God just said, put your house on the market, sell your cars, get simpler. And I mean, it just changed my life.
Yeah.
And I started seeing just being a living sacrifice totally different.
That's so good, Michael.
Yeah.
We operate from this myth, right? Unless there's abundance, right? I can't make a difference.
Yeah.
And that story is just a constant reminder. You don't have to have very much to actually make a profound impact, right?
Yeah.
In this world. So again, talking with, right, every time I talk with you, there's something inside of me, and I know it happens to other people, of they want to go see for themselves, right? And so if someone wanted to be a part of a team, because you do multiple teams a year, then it's the same website, is that right?
Yep,
EffectiveMinistries.org, and there is a list of trips, how they can be a part of those teams. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you firsthand, they make it easy on you. With helping you with everything that needs to be accomplished by way of passports and vaccines and things of that nature. I've got these bracelets out here as a reminder. We'll have some available after this airs for a couple of weekends at the church, just to remind people to follow through, to take a step. And it's an organization that's worthy of support. Even if we didn't know you, even if you weren't a personal friend, right? We would say, get involved in this organization. But for us, it is personal because of our friendship, because of Brendan and Katrina coming to church here. So any closing thoughts before we go that you wanted to share?
Yes. So going back to that, what you were just sharing about going on a trip to Niger, here's my promise. If you will say yes to going to Niger, I promise you that the trajectory of your life will never be the same. Yep. It'll be forever changed.
Yep.
You'll be a different mother, father, son or daughter, brother, sister. You'll be different in your ministry.
Yeah.
You'll be different in your work. You will never be the same again.
Yeah.
So if you go, your life literally will be changed forever. And there's a quote. I love quotes. You look like your parents when you're born. You look like your choices when you die.
Wow.
And so choose to go to Niger.
Just say that again.
You look like your parents when you're born. Mm-hmm. You look like your choices when you die.
Yeah.
So make that choice to go to Niger. And I promise you that your life will never be the same again. So yeah, say yes.
It's interesting. The t-shirt that you have on, it's on the mug that they see every Saturday night, Link, which stands for Leading Innovatively Niger to the Kingdom. Mm-hmm. But what if someone goes, what they find is that it leads them to the kingdom themselves. Yes. And I know one of my most poignant memories from the especially the last time we went, are the rooftop devotionals late at night. Mm-hmm. You're tired, you're on this open air rooftop, and we're worshiping. You're sharing a devotion. We have the Bible open, and then all of a sudden, over the loudspeaker system, throughout the entire city, is a call to prayer, mm-hmm. right? By the imam, the Muslim leaders, yes, right? Yes. I'm not calling people to pray. You have this sense of, I'm right here on the front lines, pushing the boundaries of the kingdom, mm-hmm. and encroaching on the darkness. So thank you for what you do. And I trust that through this interaction, that more people are going to be getting involved with Live 1024, and there's going to be some City Lifers on those trips.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much for tuning in for another great Fifth Saturday, for the ways that you serve this morning here, making Jesus easy to find in our city. And thank you for sitting down with me and my good friend Michael Thaler and learning about what God is doing in Niger through them and soon through each of you. We'll see you next week.